Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Lamed Vav. Today we're going to Be'ez Hashem finish the third parak of Maseches Baba Kama and begin the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Kama. And we left off on the top of daf Lamed Vav and Aleph at the two dots. First, the Gemara is going to try to understand the case where the two shvarim that may have done the damage are both owned by the same person, and the Mishnah had said that shnehem chayavim. So what exactly does that mean? What kind of shvarim are we talking about? Are they shor tam, shor muad? And what exactly does shnehem chayavim mean? That discussion is going to conclude this perek. Then the next perek is going to begin with the Mishnah discussing if a shor tam gored several times. How do the different payments work to the different nizeks? Does it when you got to pay migufo, how do you get chatzi nizek migufo time after time after time if it remained a short time each time that it gored? And we'll see in Rashi how that's even possible, that if it's goring several times that it's going to remain a short time. The Gemara Namin Beis is going to explain how the Mishnah can assume like Rabbi Yishmael, and then the Gemara is going to prove that even if the ratio follows Rabbi Yishmael, the Sefer follows Rabbi Akiva. That's going back to that Machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva had a view the din of Chatzi Nezek Migufo. Rabbi Akiva understood that they become immediate Shutfim in the Shor, whereas Rabbi Yishmael understood that it's just Stam Echiyuv Mamon that you have. And then toward the end of the Daf, the Gemara is going to discuss that case of Tokeya Lechavero. If a person wounds his friend in the ear, two deus and rishonim, what that means exactly, he either makes a really loud noise and makes him deaf, or he hits him on the ear. So the halacha is that you pay a sela, but the Gemara is not sure whether it's a sela tsuri or a sela medina, and there are big differences in value between a sela tsuri and a sela medina. So first we try to prove from our Mishnah that it's a sela tsuri, but ultimately the Gemara says it's not a raya, and it's going to show that it's in fact a sela medina and not a sela tsuri. So let us begin. We are holding Lamed Vav Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. Two dots are Yushneim Shel Ish Echad Shneihem Chayavim. That if both of the oxen belong to the same guy, then they are both Chayav. So says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ami Parzika L'Ravashi Shema Mina Shvarim Tamim Sheiziku Ratzumi Zagove Ratzumi Zagove. It sounds from here that maybe we can prove from here that if shvarim that are both tamim do damage, that you have the option of collecting from whichever one you want. Meaning, if the possibility is the damage could have happened from this short tam or from that short tam, you can collect from whichever one you want. And therefore, if one of them dies or gets lost or is gone for whatever reason, then Nizik can say, okay, no problem, I'm going to collect from the other one. Because what else could it mean when it says shneim chayavim? Only one of these animals actually did damage, so it's not like you're collecting twice, you're only collecting once. So when we say shneim chayavim, we're saying that whichever one the nizik wants to collect from, and if the other one is gone, then nizik is allowed to choose to collect from the one that remains behind. So isn't that what you see from our Mishnah? And says the Gemara, no, that's not at all what you see from our Mishnah, because hacha b'mayaskinan b'muadin. Our Mishnah is not talking about that case. Our Mishnah is talking about a case of muadin, where the shvarim over here were not a shartam, rather they were shvarim muadim. Rashi explains in Dibur Maskul Muadin that sof your mishali may aliyah anyway, so all of your nechasim are achrayi to pay for this damage that was done. So it could be this animal, could be that animal, could be any field you own or any other property they own. And the Gemara is going to say that we're talking about two tamin. Later the Gemara is going to say it's about two tamin that one of them did the damage. And Mukhi Yosef says that when you have two shvarim tamin that both belong to one person, that both do damage, so we never appreciate the question if you could collect from whichever one you want or not, meaning that the Gemara never actually resolves that issue. When it's muadin, of course you can collect from whichever one you want, and that's what the Gemara is saying right now. But if it's a tam, the Gemara never really concludes whether or not you can collect from whichever one you want. And therefore, says the Nimukei Yosef, misafek, you can only get a quarter nezek from each one. And if you can't get the full quarter nezek from one of them, you get the rest from the other one, like Rabbi Nassim, that whenever you don't have enough to pay from this, you get to pay from the other one. That's how the Nemukah Yosef understands. Says the Gemara, but wait a second. If we're talking about Muadin, Eima Seifa, how do you go on and read the Mishnah? Haya Echad Gadol Ve'Echad Katan, where one of them was larger and one of them was smaller. Hanizik Omer Gadol Hizik. The Nizik wants to say that it's the larger one that did damage, since he's going to collect Chati Nezek Me Gufo, so it's in his best interest to say that it's the larger one that did damage. Vahamazik Omer Loki Ela Katan Hizik. That no, it's the smaller one that did damage, says the Mazik, and therefore you can only collect up until half the value of the smaller animal. So the Mishnah had said Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. You got to bring a Raya if you want to collect up until half the value of the larger animal. But wait a second, that whole discussion only makes sense if we're talking about a short tam. If we're talking about a short muad, what difference does it make which animal did the damage? You pay for the full amount of damage that was done, and all of your nechasim are meshuvah to pay for the full amount of damage that was done. It shouldn't make an ounce of difference whether it was a tam or a muad, whether it was a gadol or katan that did the damage. Says Mar Sof Sof. Meaning is part of the question. Sof, to make turamalia by lishlume. Either way, you're going to have to pay for the whole thing. So amalei seifa b'tamin v'resha b'muadin. Gemara says what you have to say is that the seifa is talking about a case of a tam, because that's the only way the seifa makes sense, where there's some sort of dispute if it was a gadol that did the damage or a katan. But the resha in echanami is talking about a case of a muad. Amalei ravacha sab l'ravashi. But if the Reisha is talking about Muadin, then Chayavim? It says that both Shvarim are Chayavim? No, it's not. Neither Shor is paying for anything. Chayav Gavra mi Bayilei. The owner of the Shor has to pay from any possession that he owns, and therefore it's got nothing to do with these Shvarim, really. So it should have just said Chayav Gavra, not Chayavim. Vesu my Shnehem. And also, how could it say that they're both Chayiv? That doesn't make sense. It's the owner that's chayiv to pay whatever the value of the damage is from whatever property he happens to have. Elo li olam bitamin. Rather, what you have to say is that the Reisha is also talking about a case where they are shvarim tamin. The whole Mishnah is talking about a tam. We said before, if it's somebody a tam, can't you be medayik from our Mishnah that by a tam, ratzumizegove, that you have the right to choose which animal you want to collect from? No. Rabbi Akiva, he do amar shutfin ninhu. We're assuming, like Rabbi Akiva, that immediately when the animal does damage, you become partners, and that's what when it says shnehem, it doesn't mean you collect from whichever one you want to collect from. That's not what shnehem chayavim means. It means that as long as they're both here, you can collect. But if one of them gets lost, then you're not going to be able to collect anymore. The time of the isnu l'travayu. It's only because they're both here where if you go to collect, because you say, whichever animal did the damage to my animal, I became a shutafin, so give me half of it. The owner can't say, no, it's not this animal did the damage, it's the other animal did the damage. Because then you'll say, okay, good, so give me half of the other animal. There's no way for him to be dochayu. The time of disnul tarvayu, and the only reason he's chayiv to pay is because both still exist and are here, the lo matzi manchilei, where he can't just reject you and push you off to some other place where you're not going to be able to get paid, because whichever animal he wants to, the mazik wants to say did the damage, that's now half your animal. Avalas nu l'travayu, but if they're not both in existence, then then you could say, okay, look, I only have one shor left, and I don't believe that the shor that I have left is the one that did the damage. I believe it was the other shor. So unless you could bring a raya that this shor that I still have is the one that did the damage, you're not collecting anything. That's what it means, shneihem chayavim. It means if shneihem still exist, if they're both still around, then chayavim, then you're going to be chayav to pay. But if they're not both still around, then you're not going to be chayav to pay. Hadron Olach HaManiach, that is the end of the third parak of Maseches Baba Kama. Comes along the fourth parak, says the Mishnah now. Shor Shenogach Arba V'Chamisha Shvarim Zeh Achar Zeh Yishalim La'achron Shbehem. If you shor gores four or five different shvarim, one after the other, then you only pay the last one. at first. Vim yesh b'mosar, if there's still more money left over in the value of the shor that did the damage, which means clearly the Mishnah is assuming that this is a shor tam, so it's never going to have to pay more than gufo, more than it's actually worth. So if there's still money left over after it pays the achron shmehem, yachsi l'shalafanim, then it goes to pay the person who came before it, the shard that he damaged prior to the last one. And if there's still more left after that, then it goes to pay for the one that he damaged prior to that. Whatever was the latest one to get damaged is the one that has the highest likelihood of getting paid. Just a Matthias question. If it gored 4 or 5 times, how is it that it's still a shar tam? Shouldn't it, by definition, be considered a shar muad if it gored several times? So this is a question that all of the Rishonim deal with. Rashi, first amongst them, in the right at the beginning of the Mishnah, where he says that here's what happened. It gores one shar, and then it sees another shar and doesn't gore it. Then it sees another shar, gores that one, and then it sees two more shvarim and doesn't gore them. And then it sees another shar and gores that one. In that case, it never becomes a muad, because in order to become a muad, it needs to either gore every time it encounters another shar, or to at least set a pattern of goring, where you know every other time it sees a shar that it gores, or every third time it sees a shar that it gores. But over here, Rashi set it up in a way where there is no pattern at all. It gores once, then doesn't, then does again, so you think it's going to gore every other time, but then doesn't, and then doesn't, and then gores again. So even though it's goring 3, 4, 5 times, if there's no pattern that's being set, then it's very similar to Vestos, to when a woman is setting a pattern for Nida. Anything counts as a pattern. You could have a pattern that works with a Serugin, where it skips, where it goes up in number, when there's no pattern at all, then you can't say that it is a Muad. The Rashba and the Ravid, however, explain that we're talking about a Shor that gored many times, but there was never edus about it in front of the Bailim in Beis Din, and therefore it didn't become a muad. Meaning, if you hold the Ude Gavra, that the way an animal becomes a muad, this is a sugi we had earlier in Daf Chav Dalid, that the reason an animal becomes a muad and its halachos change is that the owner now knows that he has to watch it more carefully because he now knows that it's a dangerous shard. Well, over here, if there was no edus in Beis Din, their owner never became a muad. So the shor never becomes a muad if there was never edus in Beis Din. That's how the Rashba and the Ravid explain. Shita Mukbetes quotes Rabbeinu Yehonasan, who says that we're talking about that after a gores 3 shvarim, it sees 3 shvarim, 3 other shvarim, and it doesn't gore them. And in that way, it goes back to being a tam, and that it could keep doing that over and over again. And this is how an animal would reestablish once an animal is a mort. It doesn't mean that it's a mort forever. Again, we have a very similar premise when it comes to Dine Vestos. If a woman sets up a Vestos that she sees dam the 15th day of every month, so that's a Vestos Kavua, and that's going to be assumed to be the time where she's expected to see dam, and then she goes 3 times in a row without seeing dam, and then she goes back to not having a Vestos Kavua. So you have a very similar premise over here, that the animal's not a shor muad, it's a shor tam each time, that even though it's gored so many different times. The Meiri suggests a fourth approach. The Meiri suggests that the shor remained a tam because all of its negichos were on one day. And the shita of Rabbi Yehuda on Chav Gimel and Beis is that a shor only becomes a muad when it gores 3 times on 3 different days. Remember that whole discussion, Richek Negichos of Chayev, Kirev Negichos of Lo Kol Shekein, that's Remeir's Svara. But the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that if it gores multiple times in one day, that just means it had a bad day. That does not mean that it's a Shor Muad. So that's how the Meiri understands. The Imre Tzvi, supported by the Masifta over here, asks that, wait a second, Rabbi Meir holds that it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Meir is the one that says that Richek Negichos of Chayev, Kirev Negichos of Lo Kol Shekein. The Gemara says that the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is also like Rabbi Meir. And the whole idea of needing 3 days, that's only for it to become a tam again that you need 3 days. So that's kasha the Meiri, because the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. So why would he establish this Mishnah to be going like Dafka Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? But be that as it may, somehow you need to explain that this animal remains a short tam. That's the only way to explain it. Okay, so in each case, the last animal that it damaged gets the payment of the chatzi nezek, and only if there's leftover payment migufo will the animal before that get the chatzi nezek. So says the Gemara, masnisin mani. Going back to the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to what happens when a short tam does damage. Do we view it as like Rabbi Akiva, that they immediately become shutfin in the animal? Or do you view it like Rabbi Shmuel, that no one's a shutuf in the animal? It's just that you owe him the money, you owe the value of chatzi nezek. So says the Gemara, Masnis and Mani, our Mishnah follows neither opinion. Delok Rabbi Shmuel, Delok Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't seem to follow Rabbi Shmuel, nor does it seem to follow Rabbi Akiva. Because Ik Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Bali Chavos, Ninhu, Hai Achron, Achron, Niskar, Rishon, Rishon, Niskar, Mi Bailei. Because if you assume that it's Bali Chavos, so when you owe multiple people money, who gets paid first? The halacha is, the person you owed the money to first should be the one that gets paid first, not the person you owed the money to last. So why does it say Achron Achron Niskar? It should be Rishon Rishon Niskar. As Rashi points out on the bottom, Rishon Niskar Mi Ba'Leva Achron Yafsid. Sharei Ein Rishon Shutaf Bo Shetei Shmiras Olav. You're not going to say that the Rishon is going to lose out. Like Rabbi Akiva would say, the Rishon would lose out because as soon as the animal gored the first time, the Rishon becomes a Shutaf. So he becomes equally responsible to watch this animal and make sure it doesn't gore again. L'schayv bin Yizakin. V'hola dami l'chavat shalom hizik. Damrin ba'maniach kadmu ba'lichavos v'gbiyu lo asu klum. Ta'asim u'dam alein nizik l'balchov mehay tura da'azken minei mishtalima mishtalimna u'balchov v'matzi l'meymer le'hachi. Hilkach balchov yiton l'chasim acherim. Meaning normally by a balchov, so it doesn't have to collect from this animal, and you would say let the nizik collect from this animal rather than a balchov collect. But over here, avlach a high nizik v'high nizik. Everyone's a nizik from the same animal. V'lo mishtalim eli migufo. So the payment is only coming migufo. There's nowhere else to collect from. So shouldn't it make the most sense to say that whoever got damaged first is the one that's going to have to pay, not the one who got damaged last, if we're assuming like Rabbi Yishmael? So says Gemara, but it's also not working according to Rabbi Akiva. Kazik Rabbi Akiva Damar Shutvihu, Hai Yesh Bo Mosar Yachzir L'Shalufanav Yachzir L'Kula Mibayilei. Instead of saying if there's some extra money, go to the previous guy, the one that was damaged second to last, it should be go back to all of them, not just the one that was damaged second to last. Whatever it should be based on percentage of whatever responsibility each previous nizik had in the shmira of that animal. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, as soon as it damages once, both the mazik and the nizik now share responsibility for anything that's going to happen in the future. It occurs again, so both the original mazik and nizik have to pay evenly for that damage. But now the new nizik also shares the responsibility for what it's going to do in the future, and then again they'll share the responsibility for course a third time. So it should be yachzir l'kulam. So answers the Gemara, Amarava li'olam k'Rabbi Shmuel. That really our Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amar Bali Chovos Ninhu says that they're all Bali Chovos. Aye, the Kashalach, Achron, Achron, Niskar, Rishon, Rishon, Niskar, Mi Bailei. Aye, you ask the Kashal, why does it say Achron, Achron, Niskar? It should have said Rishon, Rishon, Niskar instead of Achron, Achron, Niskar, because if it's Bali Chovos, the person you owe the money to first should be able to collect. Hachad, the Mayaskinan, Kigon Shatavsu Nizik, Ligvos Himenu, Vinasa Love, Kishomer Sachar Linizakin. The case is that the Nizik took it to collect, and he became like a Shomer Sachar for it when with regard to Nizakin, which means that Reuven's Shor gores Shimon's Shor. That's what happens at first. Instead of Reuven and Shimon
Instead of Reuven bearing full responsibility, according to Rabbi Akiva, now Reuven and Shimon bear equal responsibility for anything it does in the future. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Reuven should bear full responsibility for anything that it does in the future. However, in this case, what happened was Shimon seized the shor. He took the shor as a way to guarantee his payment. Well, if he's taking the shor, then he's responsible solely for what that shor does. And that's why it's achron niskar. That's what it means. That he becomes like a shomer sachar. So ihachi asks the Gemara, well, wait a second. Yesh bo mosve yachzir mishalafanav. Then if there's extra, you go to the previous guy. Yachzir lebailim mibaile. If there's extra, then it should go back to the bailim, because the bailim shouldn't lose out on the mana that they had from the time of the first damage, because they no longer, the Reuven was no longer responsible to watch it at all. And when it damages the second guy, he already lost his $100, his half the money, and now it's all Shimon's problem. He's the one that became the shomer. And if each one keeps being tofes the shor, he should be the one to take responsibility for the shmira of the Bailim. So the Bailim should never lose out. The Bailim should be the one that gets reimbursed afterwards. Says Gemara, Amravina hachi ketani, em yesh bo mosar binezakav, yachzir min shelefanav. That what it's what the Mishnah is trying to say when it says im yesh bo mosar that yachzir min shelefanav is im yesh bo mosar binezakav yachzir min shelefanav. Which means that if the last damage was smaller than the second to last damage, so it turns out that the previous nizik didn't have to pay the full value of the nizik to the nizik that came afterwards, then you send that extra payment to the previous nizik, but he doesn't collect the full chatzi nizik. You just deduct it from the value of the chatzi nizik that you're paying from his portion to the nizik that comes after him, and the rest he collects himself, and the rest of the demei ashar goes back to the original owner. V'chein kiyasa Rabban Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so when Rabban came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that the achron is niskar, that the achron benefits, is mishum pshias shomer naguba, because the guy who came before him was negligent in guarding that shor. So he also obviously explains the Mishnah, like Rabbi explained, that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Shmuel, and really the nizik is not chayiv because of becoming a shutaf in the shor. The only reason the nizik is going to be chayiv in this case is because the nizik was tofes the shor and accepted upon himself the full responsibility of that shor. So asks the Gemara, v'mayu kimta, Rabbi Shmuel, where do we say is the author of our Mishnah? We said it's Rabbi Shmuel. Well, if the author of our Mishnah is really Rabbi Shmuel, how do you continue to read weiter in the Mishnah? Ihachi ema seifa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shor shava masayim, shenogach shor shava masayim. You have a 200 zuz shor, that goes another 200 zuz shor. Ve'en anavela yafa klum. And the nevela is worthless. So it did a full 200 zuz worth of damage. Zeno talmana, ve'zeno talmana. So they split the value of the shor amazik. Chazar v'nagach shor acher shava masayim. If it goes and it gores another shor that's worth 200, ha'achron no talmana, the last nizik gets 100. V'shalafanav, and the previous two guys, Reuven and Shimon, zenotel chamishim zuz v'zenotel chamishim zuz, split the other 50% of the shor, 50-50 between them. Chazav v'nagach shor shava masayim. If it again goes and gores the 200 zuz shor, ha'achron no talmana, again the last guy gets a full 100 zuz. V'shalafanav no tal chamishim zuz. The second to last guy gets 50 zuz. And v'shnayim rishonim dinar zahav. And the first two guys have to split the remaining 50, 25 apiece. A dinar 25 apiece. A dinar zahav is 25. So that's Asan Rabbi Akiva. That very clearly follows Rabbi Akiva, because what we're clearly describing over there is a shutfus that's created with each nezek, meaning Reuven's shor gores Shimon's shor, they become shutfim now in Reuven's shor. that shor gores Levi's shor. So now Reuven and Shimon are entitled to half of it. Levi's entitled to the other half of it, and now Levi becomes a shutaf who's equally responsible. So the Reuven, Shimon, and Levi's shor now goes and gores Yehuda's shor. Yehuda gets chatzi, half of the value of the shor. Levi gets 50% of the remainder, and Reuven and Shimon split the other 50% of the remainder. So you see very clearly that goes like Rabbi Akiva. Damar Tura de Shutvi, who says that it becomes a shor of Shutvin. So how's that possible? Reisha Rabbi Yishmael, the Sefer Rabbi Akiva, the Reisha follows Rabbi Yishmael, the Sefer goes like Rabbi Akiva, says Gemara Amri, in. Yes, that's exactly correct. So Amar Le Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda, because Shmuel once commented to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, Shavok Masnisin v'ta Basra'i, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel v'sefer Rabbi Akiva. That in fact, that is how we understand it, that the Reisha follows Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer follows Rabbi Akiva. I mean, you leave the Mishnah, don't try to be miyashev this Mishnah like one Tana, you're going to be wasting your time if you're going to be working hard the whole time to try to explain how the Mishnah follows one Tana. It simply doesn't. It follows two different Tanaim in different parts of the Mishnah. What exactly does the word shinina mean? This idea of shinina. So Rashi throughout Shas always explains that it means a sharp one. However, there's another explanation that Rishonim bring, that shinina means someone who has big teeth. Shinina is in Milashon Shein, that big tooth person. Both of these perushim are in the Aruch. And l'chora, the second one is a little difficult to understand, meaning to give a person a nickname based on a physical characteristic that he has seems mean, it seems not right, it seems like something that our religion would frown upon. In fact, there's a tshuva in the Torah Lishma in Siman Tav Chaf Aleph, where he was asked if you're allowed to call someone with a big nose the Balachotem, the guy with the nose. So he makes a tally on these two days in the Aruch. He says that if according to the day on the Aruch that they would refer to that the holy Tanaim and Amorayim would refer to each other as Shinina, and it means big-toothed guy, that's how Shmuel would refer to Rav Yehuda, so then it must be that describing, that using a nickname that's based on a physical characteristic, shorty, chubby, whatever you call a person, is, Reuven or whatever. So whatever you call a person that's just describing a physical characteristic would not be a problem with him. Instead, Shinina means sharp one, so that's not just a compliment about his intellect. So then you'd understand that probably calling someone by a physical characteristic would be a violation of Ona'as Devarim. Using a nickname is not appropriate. However, the Torah Lishma says, obviously, and I think it's obvious, that this has to be dependent on society, on what the accepted practice in that society is. If it's something that a person finds insulting, that's what makes it Ona'as Devarim. If it's something that a person does not find insulting, meaning if you live in the Middle Ages or whatever, where a more robust figure, a fuller figure, was considered a look of health and strength and whatever else, so if you referred to someone being a Balbasar, so that was a great compliment that they're a Balbasar. Nowadays, you refer to someone as a Balbasar, they typically would not be so pleased to receive such a compliment. I forgot which Tshuva Sefer was in Rabbi Daniel Feldman, likes to point out that in one of the Tshuvas Farim, they wanted to know, there was a tall guy in the shul, and his name was Chaim, and they wanted to know, can they call, and there was a short guy, his name was Chaim, they wanted to know if they could differentiate them by calling the tall guy Chaim Aruchin. Chaim Aruchin, that it's almost like a bracha that they give him every time. But anyway, typically speaking, it's always safer to stay away from nicknames. Says Gemara now, Tanan Hasam. It's sort of a new discussion. It's just that the Mishnah is going to be used as a raya in this discussion. Hatokel chavero. If someone is tokel chavero, which Rashi quotes two deos what that means to be tokel chavero, that you somehow wound him on the ear. Rashi says that you hit him keneged the ozen. He says that b'shem Moro, and then he says another possibility that it's a tkiya mamish, that you make a loud noise in his ear. In Bechoros, Rashi says, tokea mamish, shetaka mi piv ba'azno, that you scream into the guy's ear. The Rashba writes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that the raya to that pshat is from the braisa that we have later on at Sadi Aleph, that hamavit es chavero keitzad. It's going to ask, what's a case of scaring someone? Hatokea ba'azno v'charsho, that you are tokea in his ear and you make him deaf. So what does that mean, just scaring? If you actually physically hit him, that's assaulting. That's not mavit eschavero. So you see clearly that it's tokei, either with the shofar or with your voice, but it's about making a loud noise. The Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos understands that it is some sort of physical strike that you strike the person with, and not just making a loud noise. However, the Rashba writes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that you're only going to be chayiv if you hold on to him, you grab him b'shas tekiyah, the time that you make the noise. But if you don't grab him, you're going to be patur. The Meiri says that when it comes to boshes, you're chayiv even if you didn't grab him. It's only for nezek, tzar, and ripui that you need to actually grab him. Now, in our case, we're talking about that you didn't make him deaf. Because if you actually made him deaf, then you have to pay for the full damage of that. But we're about to say that the Mishnah and Daf Tzadi HaTokea L'chaveru Nosin Lo Sela, you only pay a Sela, and a Sela is supposed to compensate him for Boshes and only for Boshes. If it actually made him deaf, then it would be, you'd have to be paying him for the Nezik Tzar Ripoy, everything else as well. And certainly if there is any sort of Nezik over here, you'd have to pay for that as well, Rashi points out. So says the Mishnah, if you're Tokei L'chavero, you give a Sela. Rabbi Yudom Rishom Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Mana. That you don't give a Sela, you give 100 Zuz, you give a full Mana. Rashi writes on the sheet of the Tanakhami, Rashi in Kiddushin Yudalf and Beis says that the Chum assess the Dmei Boshes of an average person to be a Sela. So it sounds like Tanakhami and Rabbi Yossi really disagree as to what the Boshes of an average person is, and that's the whole Machlokas. Is it a Sela or is it a Mana? Tosfos, however, asks that the Gemara later on in Daf Tzadi is going to have a suffix according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili that you pay a mana. Is it a mana tsuri or a mana medina? And it says that it must be a mana tsuri, which is mea zuz. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, who said a sela, the Gemara is going to say it means a sela medina, which is a half a zuz. Now, if you assume like Rashi that they're arguing what is the typical boshes that an average person experiences, so it turns out that the machlokes is such a difference that the Tanakhama says 1/200th of the amount that Rabbi Yossi really assumes. That's too much of a discrepancy for reasonable minds to disagree about how much boshes an average person has. So that's why Tosfos says in Nimra Rabbeinu Tam, they have to say that they're not arguing. Tanakhama is talking about an ani, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili is talking about an ashir. So there could be a vast discrepancy based on the person who you're doing the damage to. That's where the Dmei Boshes is going to be different. However, Tosfos writes from the Gemara itself later on, it seems that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili do argue, and therefore Tosfos says that even if you say they argue, they're not talking about the same person. Tanakhama is talking about an ani getting a sela, an ashur gets more, but less than a mana. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say no, an ashur gets a mana, an ani would get less than a mana, but it's still got to be more than a sela, because it can't be that the gap is so great even between two different types of people. So there is a machlokes, and they're talking about two different types of people. That's how Tosfos understands. So the way Rashi understands is that they're arguing about just simply what the average Dmei Boshes is. Tosfos says that's crazy, the discrepancy is too much. So instead he says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, at first, that they're not arguing about how much the average Dmei Boshes is, they're actually in agreement, they're just talking about different types of people. Still seems like too big of a discrepancy, and therefore Tosfos goes with this hybrid approach, that they're talking about two different people, but they're also arguing. They're arguing about how much Boshes there would be, and that somehow bridges the gap a little bit in terms of the vast gap that's created. So now the Gemara says, "Ha'u gavra d'taka l'chavre." There was a guy who screamed into his friend's ear, and they came to Rav Tuvia Bar Masna, and Rav Tuvia Bar Masna said that you should have to pay the amount that the Tanakama said you have to pay. Shalchi Rav Tuvia Bar Masna l'kamid Rav Yosef, sela tsuri tanan or sela medina tanan. Meaning he wanted to pass him like the Tanakama, but he wasn't sure what the Tanakama in fact holds. Does the Tanakama hold a sela tsuri, which is 40 zuz, which is 4 zuz rather, or a sela medina, which is a half of zuz? This is critical, that kesef tsuri is 8 times the value of kesef medina. So this is a significant difference, kesef tsuri versus kesef medina. You know, in ksubis, people always learn the Masechta, they always think that ksubas almana is mana, ksubas basula is masayim, so an almana gets half of what a basula gets. It's in fact not true at all, because ksubas almana is dirabanan, and the kesef that we're talking about is kesef midirabanan. Ksubas basula, even if ksuba, even if you assume like that shita in Tanaim and Amorim and Rishonim that ksubas drabanan, the kesef that we're talking about in ksubas basula is kesef da'oraisa. And if it's kesef da'oraisa, it means it's kesef tsuri, which would mean that it's 8 times the value of kesef medina, which would mean that ksubas basula is 16 times the value of ksubas almana, not twice the value of ksubas almana. These make for big differences when we're dealing with these numbers. So Amalei, Rav Yosef says Tinisua, we learned in our Mishnah how to be poshate this suffix. Are we dealing with kesef medina or kesef tsuri? Because what does it say? Ushnayim arishonim dinar zahav, that the first two guys each get a dinar zahav. But vi sal kadai tochtani tana sela medina. If you're going to say that the sela that we're talking about is sela medina, so the tana should have mentioned niflug v'nisnei atreser v'sela. It should have gone one step further. Rabbi Shimon should have extended the conversation and mentioned that if it could have been divided another time, then if it would have gored one more time, this another shar worth 200 zuz, the last guy would get 100 zuz, the guy before him would get 50, the guy before him would get 25, and the guy before and the two guys before him would each get 12 and a half. They would have gotten 12 zuz plus a sela medina, which is a half a zuz, and that would have worked out great. From the fact that the Mishnah didn't go that far to talk about the 12 and a half, must be that a sela is not a sela medina. So if you would have had to describe that chalukah, we would have had to say 12 and a half zuz, and we just don't like to talk in terms of half zuz, and we like to talk in terms of full currencies. So Amalei, the guy said, no, that's not a raya. Tana kiruchel, listening v'lezel, you're really going to be medayik from the fact that the Mishnah didn't extend a little bit longer and go even further and describe if it were to go one more time, does the Mishnah have to go, be like a rochel where it just talks and talks and talks? So my havila, how do we pass in the end of the day? Well, if someone is tokeh b'chavero, so what is it? Is it a sela medina or is it a sela tzuri? So pashtu mehadam ravidam rav, we answer it based on what Vidam Rav says, that called kesef amr b'torah, kesef tzuri v'shal d'vrayim, kesef medina. Whenever there's kesef in the Torah, it's always kesef tzuri, and whenever there's kesef that's in the din d'rabanan, it's always 1/8 of that value, it's always kesef medina. That's the chiddush by ksuba, right? The big raya that we showed and bring, that ksuba has to be d'oraisa, is because we use the words d'chazi lichi midaraisa. So the Rishonim explained, no, even if ksuba is d'rabanan, we're saying that it's an anomaly, that even though it's d'rabanan, the kesef that we're talking about is kesef d'oraisa. That's what it means, d'chazi lichi midaraisa. But the actual principle of having a ksuba may only be d'rabanan. Amalei Ahu Gavra, there another story. A guy who was tokeh l'chavero said, holu palga d'zuzuhu, since it's only half a zuz, lo be'ina, I don't want it because I'm embarrassed to take a half a zuz. Natsve la'anim. So instead, give it to the poor. Hadar Amalei, later he changed his mind and said, you know what? Natsve ne'ali, give me the half a zuz. Ve'ezav avri ben afshay, and I'll go and I'll buy myself a nice dinner with it. Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, you can't be chozer after you already said give it to anim. Kvar zachal be'anim. The anim already were coned this with a kinyan maimet shalashton. You're not able to go back on it. Ve'alfak abdelek anim hacha. I normally to be coned with a kinyan maimet shalashton all three parties need to be there, meaning if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon says, you know, just give it to Levi, that's only a kinyan if Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are all here. So if Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon says, give it to the Aniyim, it should only be a Maimon Shloshim if Aniyim are here, but the Aniyim aren't here. But he says, Anan, Yad Aniyim Anan. As the Gabbai Tzedakah, I am, we represent the Aniyim, and it's as if there was a Maimon Shloshim. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, Yisomim, Einan Tzrichin Prozbul. Yisomim don't have to make a prozbul for their chovos in order to avoid Shemitah from cancelling their loans. V'chein Tali Rabbi Bar Chama, and Rabbi Bar Chama taught the same. Yisomim Ein Tzrichin Prozbul. Rav Gamliel, Beis Dino, Avian Shal Yisomim Ayu. And the reason is because it's the Beis Din's job to take care of the Yisomim, and it's as if all the shtaros of Yisomim are Mesurim the Beis Din. So you see from there that the Gabbai Tzedakah is like an extension of the Aniyim, and he has the right to make transactions on behalf of the Aniyim. Now the Gemara concludes with one more story. Chanan Bisha, Chanan the bad guy. Bisha means he was a bad guy. And that used to be his nickname, which seems a little odd that we were allowed to give someone such a nickname, but he must have been a terrible guy. Takalelu hu gavra, so he was tokea someone in the ear. Also the kamid Rav Huna, so they came to Rav Huna for a din Torah to find out what the boshes payment should be. Amrlei, so Rav Huna said, zil havle palga de zuza, go and pay half a zuz. Havle zuza macha, the only zuz he had was like a worn out, terrible zuz. So Chanan wanted to pay from that zuz, that awful zuz. The guy said, I'm not taking that half a zuz. You're going to have to come up with something else. I'm not accepting a half a zuz from this zuz. So what he did was, he did it again. He was tokei abazno again. So now he owes him a full zuz for the two tekios. And then he was able to stick on him this zuz garua, this terrible zuz, because now he owes him a full zuz. So he says, here's your full zuz. The Rambam passes that even if a person hits his friend many times at once, he pays for each mako umako. Meaning if he keeps bludgeoning him, one, two, three, he's going to pay for each one. The Yosemeach writes that the makar for the Rambam is from this maisa, because this must have been before the Gemar Din, because since it was in Bavel, and whatever Rav Huna was done him was because he was Tovea the Nitka to go with him to Eretz Yisrael, even though Rav Huna was Mechayiv him on the first one, it's not considered a Gemar Din, because we're not done Dine Knossos in Bavel. So as long as there's not a Gemar Din, it doesn't make a difference whether there was a lag in time or not, or you just hit him one time after the other, you're going to have to pay for each and every hit separately. Because this is the Makar for that Shitas Rambam. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up at the Mishnah.